Perfect.
This week on Barbell Shrugged, Mike's out of town, so the ladies take over. We are going to be talking about the female training and fun stuff. Cooking and how we train and roll and get strong.
What's up, guys? It's CTP, and you're listening to Barbell Shrug. Make sure you check out our video versions of all these podcasts on our website, fitter.tv. And all of our video versions, we include Technique Wad, which is our series of technique instruction videos for CrossFitters, free previews of some of the seminars we put out, and then sometimes come out of the studio and have special video segments, such as cooking in the kitchen with Brandy that one time and out in the pool with Lucas, and who knows what the next thing we'll do is. So make sure you check out our website, fitter.tv. And watch the videos as well.
All right, welcome back to Barbell Shrugged. Mike is out of town, so I rounded up all the ladies today. So we're going to talk about CrossFit and Paleo with Ashley, Amanda, and Laura. First, we'll go around the circle real quick. And I was told not to start with you, so we're going to start with Ashley. Tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of about your CrossFit journey and your experiences kind of getting into this world.
Okay. Whose wife are you?
Mike Bledsoe. Should I claim that? About 4 years ago, I guess, is when I got started into CrossFit and was doing it out of the garage. And then, so that's kind of how I got into CrossFit, was kind of dating Michael.
Tell your... It's hard being on mic the very first time. Tell your story about how the very first workout was for you. She's so nervous.
Three snorts already.
Oh, you're counting your snorts?
We're counting.
Okay. I snore a lot. Let's see. My first workout, I will never forget, actually. It was in the garage, and I have never had any... Like, I had been out of practice as far as training goes for a few months because I broke my wrist. Mm-hmm. First experience was... kettlebell swings and running and push-ups. And I remember just trying to impress Mike. And so anytime I would get around the house and he couldn't see me running, I would stop and walk across the yard. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I got back in vision again, I would start jogging like it was no problem. And then, yeah, so it was a good time. It was 3 rounds, a run around the block. I think it was 10 kettlebell swings and 10 push-ups. And I could barely do a push-up.
And in comparison to now, that probably seems like a really easy workout.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And it just killed you the very first time you did it. And now you look back and you're like, run around the block, do 10 push-ups and 10 swings. You probably do it in a couple minutes. Yeah. And it probably wouldn't wreck you at all. You probably do that 4 times a day and not even be sore.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's yeah. Great. Okay. So that was your very first workout. Mm-hmm. And then where'd you go from there?
Let's see. I guess from the garage, we opened up the gym and just kind of been competing and training. Mm-hmm. I went to a regionals event in Ohio. It's kind of my first competition. And then, yeah, just kind of been competing, having fun. Mm-hmm. And now work at the gym. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Ashley's our manager here at Faction in Memphis. And yeah. Amanda is also one of our coaches. Tell your story, kind of where you started and where you've come from there.
When I played college volleyball, I was introduced into Olympic lifting sort of back then. Mm-hmm. And then one of my strength coaches there actually got wind of CrossFit, and so he kind of introduced it to us. But back then, if anything was hard, like a pull up or anything, I just skipped it. Like there's no way I was gonna do it, like ever. So mm-hmm. anything that was easy and I was good at, I did quite often. That was my version of CrossFit until I walked into your gym mm-hmm. back in 2009. And I think I came for Fight Gone Bad the first day, and it kicked my butt because I remember I rode really, really hard on the rower. Mm-hmm. And I got to the 12-inch box jump and I fell face forward. Oh, yeah. And I was completely embarrassed because I saw all you other girls like doing heavier weights. And I was like, man, I'm a college athlete. This was after college, but I was like, I am so weak. I thought I was strong. And so I think I came back the next day and signed the membership. Uh-huh. So, yeah, so that was back in 2009 and started training and loving CrossFit more and more. And then I guess it was a little over a year ago, I started coaching Saturdays for you guys mm-hmm. and got comfortable coaching and then was hired on in February of this year. So mm-hmm. been coaching for almost a year. Yeah.
Very cool. All right, Laura, what about you? How'd you get into CrossFit?
I heard about CrossFit on Facebook, actually. And I had some friends of a friend that was friends with your husband. Yeah. So I gave the gym a call, and actually your husband's who answered and said, well, come on in and I'll, you know, walk you through it. So I came in on a Saturday morning, and it was in the middle of July, and there's no air conditioning in your gym. And everybody was in the middle of a wad. And so I had never seen anything like it. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I walking into? Mm-hmm. And so I went into the office, and he was like, no, you're going to be fine. You're going to really love it. I had a background in competitive gymnastics, and he was like, you're going to fit right in here. And I was like, I have never touched a barbell in my life. I don't know what you're thinking. And the first workout I did was Fran, and it was terrible.
Mm-hmm. You remember what weight you used and what time you got?
It was well over 15 minutes. I know that, and I do not know. I think I used prescribed weight, so it was, 65 pounds? Mm-hmm. And I remember Coach Rob made me take my shoes off. Because he said that thrusters would be easier barefoot. I lost my big toenail in the workout.
On your first day?
On my first day.
Oh, my God.
Totally bleeding all over the place. I was jumping off of a box to do pull-ups, and I clipped the box with my foot, and my toenail just flew off. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And he's like, you need to keep going. I'm like dying. And I kept going. But it took like 9.5 months for that toenail to grow back. But
oh, nice.
I signed the membership that day.
So. That sounds like something Rob would do. For the record, Rob's in the Special Forces, so he probably didn't see that as like a big injury.
He's like, whatever, suck it up, you know.
Yeah, he probably just told you to tough it out.
I swore never to take my shoes off in the gym again. Yeah. I learned my lesson on that one. So
that's funny.
Okay.
Good stuff.
So that was your very first workout?
It was my very first workout. So we didn't have very much of a fundamentals back then. So I did like a week of like intro movements, I guess. It wasn't much of anything. And then, and that was like 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, we used to just kind of throw people into the fire. Mm-hmm. We didn't have fundamentals.
Yeah, I just got thrown in there, and it was, I kind of learned as I went. Amanda and I used to be in the 6 o'clock class, and we toughed it out
Marcy
with our
two.
Little, yeah, Marcy too. We were our little five people. Mm-hmm. And so now I compete, and we went to regionals last year, and it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. How'd you do at regionals? I feel like you performed well, or did you walk out of there thinking like, oh man, I really need to work on this or that? What was kind of your big strength and your big weakness at regionals?
Event 4 was my big weakness.
Yeah. But, what event was that?
It was it was so long. What was it? It was 75 squats and 50 pull-ups and 1,000 push press and
overhead squats and front squats
and back squats and pull-ups, and it was a lot of rounds. I can't remember how many rounds it was, but
so that was the super high volume wad was the one that got you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think I wasn't prepared to be as sore as I was. We had practiced the wads a lot, but mm-hmm. I don't think I was ready to be that sore.
Like going into the workout, you were mm-hmm. very sore.
We'd already done event 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. I was in both of those events. Mm-hmm. And the second day, I was like, oh, I could barely move. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was so much fun. It was such a good learning experience mm-hmm. of how to recover and how to learn to be less sore, you know. Mm-hmm. Go in and train yourself to expect those things. So mm-hmm. I'm probably just rambling. I have no idea what I'm saying anymore.
Okay, well,
it was a lot of fun.
Okay, good. Well, on that note, we'll jump into some of the questions that we've gotten from our audience members.
It's getting hot in her.
You still look good.
Thanks, champ.
No problem.
All right, so one of the biggest questions that we get from people that have never done CrossFit before, especially ladies, is that they're worried about, you know, lifting weights and getting bulky and putting on too much muscle mass and then turning into a bodybuilder like almost by accident and overnight, right? So what has been your guys' experience with that? Have you guys put on a lot of muscle mass and gained a lot of strength? And were you worried about that initially? And was there ever a point where you're like, man, I think I'm getting too big, I need to stop lifting weights? Or, you know, just kind of talk about that transition for you.
That is really a common question, actually, that we get. A lot mm-hmm. of times when people are like, ladies ask, you know, me, I don't want to get bulky. Mm-hmm. I kind of be like, well, do you think I'm bulky? And they're like, So it's kind of
check
fun to see what
these
their reaction's
going
to be. But, and I kind of say, I've, you know, I'm probably one of the bulkiest girls here. and I'm not that bulky, you mm-hmm. know, I have muscle, mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I want, you know, so. Mm-hmm.
How has your body changed since you started CrossFitting? Were you always roughly the same body type, has it been a dramatic change from where you used to be?
I'm a lot leaner, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And then I for the most part, I've always had the same body, just I'm shaped a little bit better. Yeah. My butt's a lot bigger. Okay. I'm down to one pair of jeans. We all
are. You just wear Lululemon every day now.
That's right. Yep. But that's probably the most, is just getting a little more muscular and having to figure out how to get things to fit, because we have, you know, traps and you know, all kinds of stuff. So shirts are fitting a little tighter, mm-hmm. but I feel like I look better though than I've ever mm-hmm. looked. So
you have a little bit more muscle mass, mm-hmm. not a lot more muscle mass, but a little bit more muscle mass, mm-hmm. just because you do strength training on a regular basis, but all your clothes fit better and you're leaner, mm-hmm. so you're not skinny fat.
Nope.
That's good news. That's a disease. Yeah. what about you, Amanda?
I would say the biggest changes I've had is mainly in my upper body strength, because I squatted a lot just from being an athlete. So I've always had I have long levers, but I have usually a really strong base in my my lower body. So my upper body, when I came to CrossFit, was lacking completely everything. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably the biggest change I've seen, and I've also gotten a lot leaner. But I think that has to do with combination of the diet too, or paleo diet. So getting leaner, again, not having jeans that fit, you know, have to buy new jeans every year, but I don't see that as a bad thing. I see that as, you know, I'm enjoying the way I look, so mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if I have to buy a new pair of jeans every year. Because the butt gets bigger. Yep. Yeah. But yeah.
Okay. So yeah, you just mentioned the diet. We're going to talk about that here, mm-hmm. Here in just a minute, after we talk to Laura, but, what has been the biggest change for you for your diet? What made you kind of shift to the paleo world? Were you always pretty conscious about what you ate?
I mean, I thought I was.
Oh yeah.
Back in the day. But I was very, I was not educated well, at least, I had the American standard diet. You know, I thought, you know, eating whole grains and all the, you know, typical stuff was healthy. And I think what finally did the turning point for me was when I started, we did faction games. That was my first competition. I did the beginners division, and it was like maybe a month before that, I was like, I'm just going to really start eating paleo. And back then it was still probably like 50-50. I was still kind of drinking milk every now and then, and eating a sandwich every now and then, but still mm-hmm. called it paleo. Mm-hmm. And then after I did the competition, you know, everybody gets pretty amped up and they're like, oh, I like competing, and it motivates you. So I was a little bit more motivated after the competition to actually stick to paleo. And then once I actually did consistently and started cooking, I could see a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of the same way. I used to think sub sandwiches were like really, really good for me. I used to eat them all the time.
Yeah, Subway. That was a big thing. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, I thought mm-hmm. if I went to Subway, then it wasn't a cheat meal. That was like, I was doing really good. I was eating out, but I was eating clean.
Yeah, Jared loses weight, so why not?
That's right. That's right.
I had Taco Bell all the time.
Ooh, oh, Taco yeah. Bell.
Oh, man.
Mixing good the robot yeah. now, but yeah, yeah, you, as a fast you food junkie.
You've probably made one of the biggest transitions from eating fast food multiple times a day, mm-hmm. if not a week.
Every meal? Pretty much.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
I know.
Breakfast,
crazy,
lunch,
right?
And dinner.
Really?
Oh yeah. I hardly ever cooked.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so surprising.
I was a decent cook, but I wasn't really good.
Mm-hmm. This was high school, college?
College.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would even say, I mean, 3 years ago at that, like I was still probably not eating real paleo. I've just started, I would say, really being more 80-20. you know, like 2.5-3 years ago. So,
wow. Okay. Yeah. But actually, I do want to talk about paleo and about cooking for yourself and for the rest of your family, and also maybe even about how to incorporate it into the lives of your children if you have children. But we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about recipes and all about paleo.
Yay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yay. All right, welcome back to Barbell Shrugged. Again, we're here with Ashley, Amanda, and Laura.
We're trying to get her to snort.
Oh, did she do it?
No.
Are we still counting her snorts?
She's only up to, was it five?
I'm on five, oh, yeah.
I thought it was three.
We're going to go with five.
Okay.
We can go with four and call it an average. Yeah.
All right, so I want to talk a little bit about cooking and eating paleo and about the easiest way you guys have found to very consistently eat well and eat paleo. So you do most of the cooking for you and Mike. Mm-hmm. Mike's a goddamn disaster without you anymore because he never cooks and you do all the cooking. So so talk about, you know, kind of the most common things that you guys make
it's
throughout
so
the week.
True.
It is. He's a wreck
he
when she's out of town.
He calls her when she's not home and he's like, what do I eat? He's like, what do I eat? There's food in the fridge. And he's like, well, what kind of food?
Like, total mess. There's vegetables in the Tupperware. Yeah. Heat that up. 2 minutes.
Uh-huh. I mean, literally, it's like talking through it.
You have to teach Mike how to microwave stuff over the phone.
Like, it's okay, honey.
The button.
Calm down.
Start. Push it.
Close the door. Push the button.
All right. So what's your most common meals?
We have bacon and eggs and for breakfast and like a juice in the morning. That's probably like our every morning traditional thing. But our most common thing that we cook, or I cook, actually, is probably like a stir fry. Mm-hmm. I'll do some ground beef and
that's mine. Sorry.
I'll do like a ground beef and then I'll just kind of pick some veggies. I've kind of gotten where I cook the meat separate from the veggies now. Uh-huh. Just because I like to proportion it where I'm eating a little more, because I have a tendency to eat more protein than I do veggies if I mix it all together. So by having it separate, I kind of can keep it a good little even thing. Mm. But yeah, so I'll do a stir fry and then I'll pick some sort of veggie. Lately, I've been on a Brussels sprout and like cabbage kick. So I'll kind of do that and put some kale in there. I try to do a different color of veggie on something, like mix it all up so I have different colors.
So all you do is just take a big old thing of ground beef, cook that separately, and then cook a bunch of veggies, and then when you want to have your meal, you just scoop a little bit of both into a bowl and mix it up and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds super easy.
It's super easy. It takes
What do you usually flavor that with?
Depends on my mood. Spicy. Sunny salt. Sunny salt, is that what it's? Yeah.
Sunny salt's good stuff.
Yeah, I'll do sunny salt. Sometimes I'll do like some basil, oregano. I don't know. I just grab stuff and season.
Like, you don't overthink it. You just throw a bunch of spices on there, and if it tastes good, it tastes good.
Yeah. We are one and the same. I do the same thing.
I'm like, what do I have in my cabinet? A million different kind of spices. So, garlic. I normally do some sort of garlic powder or salt, and then a little salt and pepper, and then, like I said, sunny salt, or I'll do a basil or oregano.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It sounds like a relatively cheap meal, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wouldn't cost a whole lot of money.
No, it doesn't.
And you can make a ton of it at once, so you could eat it for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, I cook, like, 4 pounds of meat at a time.
Yeah.
Because Mike eats a lot.
Yeah. That's perfect. Like, a lot of people don't cook in bulk like that, and then they end up having to cook way too frequently, and then, you know, inevitably they get home, and they're tired, and they're like, I don't want to cook right now, and so I'll just eat out, or I'll just eat whatever's the fastest thing that they have in their kitchen that they can just heat right up. And they end up eating a bunch of junk.
Yeah.
What about you, Amanda? What's your most common meal that you make during the week?
I am very similar to Ashley. I eat bacon and eggs every morning. If I don't juice in the morning, I'll juice at lunch. Started that about a month ago and really enjoying it so far. It took me a while, but I am enjoying it now. But I do a lot of stir fries. When I first started paleo, I did a lot of just hardcore recipes because I was super excited, and lately I've gotten a little lazy, so stir fries are my go-to.
What's a hardcore recipe? What's that mean?
One that takes a lot of effort.
Yeah.
Like, I actually have to look it up, and I have to make sure I have all the ingredients for it, and then actually pay attention. I'm not one to really pay attention to recipes. I think that's why I'm not a good baker.
Mm-hmm.
She would know something about that.
Right.
But yeah, so I kind of like to make things up as I go. You know, I enjoy cooking, so I kind of just flavor things differently all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, stir fries are my go-to, definitely.
And changing the flavor up almost changes the meal.
Yeah.
Up. So, you know, a lot of people will be like, oh, you have to eat the same thing over and over again. Yeah. Well, you change the flavor of
change
it.
Change the
it's
vegetables.
Not the same thing. Yeah, change the veggies. And so
Yeah, a lot of people don't eat paleo because they don't think it tastes good. They don't they don't know how to make vegetables taste good.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything I eat, everything I've ever had at your place, like, it all tastes fantastic. So once you get good at it, it all is going to taste great. But
yeah.
I'm sure there's a little bit of a learning curve about how to make vegetables taste good. And you have to mix and match and experiment a little bit. But eating paleo doesn't mean it has to be bland and boring at all.
Yeah.
All right, Laura, what about you? What's your most common meal that you make throughout the week? Especially things that you would make in bulk, kind of like they're talking about.
Well, things that I would make in bulk would be more like chili, like paleo chili. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a good one on Sundays, just to make, like, you know, 4 pounds of just like a ton of chili. Because my fiance eats a lot too, and I have a 5-year-old who has to eat paleo as well, which just makes it a little more interesting. So I have to keep things mixed up in my household a lot because she'll get bored. He gets really bored. He's new to the paleo world, so... Like you said, I've had to mix it up a lot to, you know, get him to think, oh, yeah, it is pretty good. You know, it's not just weird, bland, boring food. I like paleo shepherd's pie. That's a good one. And that lasts us probably 3 or 4 days. So that's a good one.
That's not something I've ever made before. How do you make that? What is that?
It's I use ground turkey meat. You can use ground beef. I just stick to turkey meat because I like the taste better.
Okay.
You brown it with some onions and some, I put peas and green beans and carrots and some almond meal, and I'm stuttering, so I'm sorry. And you saute all that up, and then you pour it all in a casserole dish, and you cover it with cauliflower mash.
Okay.
My fiance likes cheese sprinkled on his, so I put cheese on one half, and like my half, I don't eat cheese on it. And you stick it in the oven and bake it for 30 minutes, and it's a huge casserole in layers, and it's awesome.
Sounds awesome, yeah.
Amanda's had it. Have you had it?
I haven't had it.
I've had yours. It's very good.
It's really good. It's one of my go-tos. I love it. And it lasts, you know, several days. It's something you can just reheat, and it tastes really good reheated. So
okay,
it's a good one. Rotisserie chicken, that's super easy with some frozen vegetables. It doesn't get any easier than that.
Yeah, seriously.
And I'm one that cooks every night. Like I said, my family tends to get bored if I do too many leftovers. Mm-hmm. So rotisserie chicken with frozen vegetables is like champ meal. We do breakfast for dinner a lot because we are really busy in the mornings. So we don't do eggs and bacon for breakfast. So that's a good dinner if people are busy, you know, and they can't cook in the morning. There's a ton. I could keep going.
Yeah, that's actually one of the things that I recommended on the Faction Foods Nutrition course, was when people are traveling to just go grab a rotisserie chicken and it's already cooked and tastes fantastic, and then just buy one of the little veggie trays where all the vegetables are already all cut up and they're all single servings. Like, that's easy travel food.
Exactly.
You can just tear off a wing and grab some veggies.
You're good
and you don't
go.
Have to cook anything. It's all it's all done, and it's not that expensive. It's super cheap.
It is. That's a really good idea. Even you could go as far as that Kroger. They have the vegetable soup. That's, as far as I know, it's paleo. It's just broth with vegetables in it.
Yeah.
You could even get rotisserie chicken and some veggie soup, and you're good to go. I mean, it's super easy.
Yeah. I mean, they might have some cornstarch thickeners in there or something like that. Yeah. But it's minor stuff.
It's not going to kill you. Mostly good stuff. It's gonna be okay. Just keep it simple, I think, with the paleo. You know, start small, keep it simple. I think that's the best way to go about it. Ashley's choking.
Can we get a snort? Can we get a snort?
Right when she snorted. Said that.
Like, what am I doing?
There you go.
That was CTP's fault. Just saying.
CTP has hit two people with the microphones now.
That's right. When he was setting up, he smacked Amanda right in the face with the mic.
I'm okay, though.
That's us. Yeah. One thing, though, I've learned, I never thought that it would be like, is being excited about eating meat. Like, I love
I crave
meat. Like, ribs.
I think about it every,
you know,
every meal. It's like,
never.
You just train your body
to
like it.
Did you guys ever go through like a I think I'm going to be a vegetarian phase?
No. Man.
No?
Heck no.
Never. Okay.
I don't know.
I never thought that was a wise choice.
I never did either.
I like bacon too much.
Yeah. I like meat.
No, I did even go through, back when you were like a teenager?
No.
Oh, really? Okay.
I did go through the whole like, I want to be skinny, so I'm not going to eat
Yeah.
phase.
Oh, yeah?
You know,
I went through that
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you just
would eat one meal a day or something.
Yeah, or eat very, you just drink water like all day.
Didn't last very long.
Just one Taco Bell meal a day. You'll get skinny.
Dude, I knew where the specials were at every fast food place.
Oh my goodness.
You still remember it all?
Oh, yeah, like the dollar values were like, you know, on Mondays we're at Burger King or something like that. And Tuesday I would go to.
That's hard.
You had like a weekly routine?
I did. I went every Wednesday. I went to Taco Bell because they had like a dollar taco or something like that, and I'd get the soft tacos.
Nice.
That's sweet. Awesome.
And I would eat them.
Mm-hmm.
Gross.
It makes me
mad. Yeah,
now.
Golly.
I haven't had Taco Bell in like 5 years.
I can't even remember the last time I had Taco Bell. Whoa.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, I used to live in Tucson, and we did that with the bars. Like, every bar had like their special, and mm-hmm. we had a 7-day rotation all around the city.
All week.
And the funny part about it was, is we started doing it, and we started noticing that a whole lot of people had the same exact rotation. We would see them at, like, different bars on like every Wednesday.
Friends. Hey, we know you.
Exactly.
Did you notice that with the fast food?
I did not.
Yeah. That'd be pretty friends. Funny.
Like, hey. I'm getting the burger today. What are you getting? What you getting?
Oh, gosh.
All right. So obviously all women in society, they want to be beautiful and they want to be thin. And when people start doing CrossFit or just start working out in general, usually that's what they want to do. They want to, you know, get in shape so they can look better, you know, look good naked and all that. So how have your goals changed over the years from more than likely being mostly aesthetic driven to now a big part of it is being performance driven. Like you have, I want to front squat this and I want to back squat that and I want to get a good time on this and not just, I want to get rid of this.
Yeah.
Like, not that that's not important. I want to be thin and lean also.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys and girls. But is that something that has changed over the years where you now care more about your performance and you're not only concerned about how you look?
Yes, definitely. I would say, especially in the last, like, 2 years for me, when I started eating better, that's when I noticed the difference. And then I just started feeling better. And then, yeah, and then you kind of compete and you have some goals and it's not necessarily how I look, but it's more of like, ooh, I want to get that 300-pound squat, which I really do want to get. So
yeah, what are you up to right now?
I did 245 pretty easy the other day, mm-hmm. a couple
for
weeks
back
ago.
Squat?
Mm-hmm, for back squat. So
got a girl.
Yeah.
Well, what did you start off doing? Do you remember like hitting a max years ago?
I could probably barely squat the bar.
Yeah.
Really? Like 2 years ago. I was weak. Yeah. I mean, I was strong. Well, I was weak.
The fast food made you.
Yeah.
Made you,
the fast food doesn't help you squat.
Do you remember the first time you did a CrossFit total, like a squat, overhead press, deadlift? And you remember what your maxes were?
Actually, before I did my first competition, I did a deadlift, and the competition had 185-pound deadlift,
mm-hmm.
and the week before, my one rep max for deadlift was like 180 pounds.
Oh yeah,
like crap. I was like, so I did one rep max a lot on that day.
Yeah,
it grew, but yeah. So my deadlift was like 180
mm-hmm.
4 years ago.
Yeah. And do you know what your deadlift's up to now? We don't deadlift that
often. I don't really deadlift. The last time I deadlifted, I did 275 for 5.
Okay.
So.
That's a huge gain, a huge progress. That's crazy.
That's a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it wasn't 270.
Really
I feel like it was.
I don't remember.
Maybe it was 275.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a girl.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what about y'all? How have your maxes improved over the years? You remember what you were squatting when you first showed up?
65 pounds. I remember doing the very first back squat and I was like, ooh, I was like shaking and I was like, I don't think I can do this. And now it's exponentially better.
Oh yeah. You're what are you up to now for your front and back squat?
My back squat's 275 and my front squat is 230. Very 225. Nice. 225. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I'm aiming for that 230 real hard though. I really want it.
Do you want to say what you weigh on the show?
I weigh 108.
108 and you squat 275?
Yep.
But yeah, there's not many girls out there that front squat over double body weight.
Well, I think it has to do with a lot that I have excellent coaches, first of all, who really do
Thank
well.
You.
And then that I'm really short. Because I have good.
You have fantastic squatting leverage. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I think I do. So it does help.
It definitely helps, but you're also just really fucking strong. And that helps too.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah.
Just made my day.
Yeah, I mean, you can justify leverages and body types all day long, but at the end of the day, you know, you're just really strong for how big you are. That's pretty cool.
Well, and you know, I think what an interesting thing for me was when I started competing is when I really started pushing. Because when you get into a competition, you're like, I can't do that. And then you do it. And it's amazing. And you're like, holy crap. Like Faction Games, like a year ago? Yeah, when was the last Faction Games? I can't remember. Yeah. But anyway, it was like weights that now would be no problem. But then I was like, I would never dream of squat cleaning, you know, 20 times like 100 and I don't even remember. But competition pushes you in such a way that you wouldn't think to push yourself. Mm. So I think starting to compete really pushes you through those walls that you're like, I can't ever do that. Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. And then you do it and you're like, wow. That was amazing.
Yeah. So do you feel like similar to Ashley, like most of your goals now are more performance driven and less aesthetic driven?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What's your biggest goal right now you're trying to hit?
I really want 300 on that back squat.
Oh, yeah. You guys are both racing for the same thing.
300. Yeah. It's a big one. We really want that. We can get it too. Ashley and I can get it. I really want that sucker, man.
You know, I started actually high bar back squatting. I have been low bar back squatting. Mm-hmm. Due to some like ankle mobility. Mm-hmm. But my mobility has gotten a little bit better. In my mind, it's gotten a lot better, but it still has a lot to gain.
It has gotten quite a bit better.
Yeah.
You used to have very, very tight ankles and they've cleared up over time, but still you could use a little bit more range of motion to do a high bar back squat full depth. Mm-hmm. You probably don't have the range of motion you would need for that. So low bar back squats for you, since you can keep more of a vertical shin, you don't need as much ankle mobility for it. Have been a better choice for the last, you know, forever, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, but as your ankle mobility improves, I think switching over to high bar, you can get a little bit of benefit from that.
Yeah. Getting stronger. It's working. I like it.
Oh, I was actually really impressed the other day when we tested your ankles and they had...
Yay! I went from like a one to two.
they cleared up quite a bit.
Yeah. What are your goals, Ashley? Amanda, excuse me.
Well, I think just getting stronger overall, getting a muscle up would be nice. Mm-hmm. Been working hard for that one.
Are you pretty close to that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're really
like,
close.
I feel like I am, but it's just that transition. It's just getting me every time. So I just need more practice, obviously. But
so
yeah,
going from the top of the pull-up to the bottom of the dip, is that just getting through that transition phase is the hard part for you?
Pushing the head through and getting to the bottom of that ring dip. Yeah. Because I'm kipping hard enough. It's just, not clicking yet. Mm-hmm. So that's a big goal. Just getting stronger in my back, because I had a really significant back injury this time last year that I didn't really wait properly to heal long enough. So I took like a month and a half off and then did a lot of split squats. Got a lot stronger doing that. But then I went back and I was, because the Open comes around back in February, and I started training too early and I did a front squat. That re-injured it all over again. Mm-hmm. So since February, I've kind of just been taking a very long road to recovery for my back. And just now up to a point where I can make PRs again, which is nice.
Yeah.
I'm still very cautious because I've never had an injury like that before. And when you hurt your back, like it just changes your whole mind. Like I've hurt my shoulder, I've hurt my knee in college, but nothing like your back.
That was the most debilitating out of all of them.
Yeah. Like when I could not bend over to put a dish into the dishwasher, I was like, man, this has got to get better.
Great.
Coaching with an ice pack on all night. Yeah, that was fun.
So you said that you did a lot of split squats while you were rehabbing your back. So you were still able to, you know, to train your legs without hurting your back. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like some of the adjustments that you made to still stay in shape?
Yeah. I mean, when I was, the first time I didn't do as good as I did the second time. So after I re-injured it back in February, I didn't deadlift any kind of bar. I didn't do any kind of Olympic lifting because just picking something off the ground was probably the worst pain that I had. Of course, it got better over time, but I just avoided anything that would hurt it in that way. So I did a lot of single leg work. I did a lot of core work. It was a good opportunity to work on my handstand push-ups, which I was slowly getting better at too. Mm-hmm. So I basically avoided everything that hurt and did a lot of single leg stuff. I think that helped strengthen my glutes, and which therefore helps strengthen my back along with the core work. So mm-hmm. Anytime somebody hurts their back, I'm like, well, this is what I did and it worked for me. Granted, mm-hmm. I didn't do it right the first time, but you know, you learn your lessons.
Yeah.
And I know yeah. I know what fixes
you
it now.
As you
like
go.
Anytime I get any kind of tweak, I'm like, okay, I know what I need to do. Mm-hmm. Granted, it can be different, but so far it's been the same side every single time. So mm-hmm.
But now you know how to
learned.
Handle
yeah.
it.
Split squats are awesome.
Mm-hmm. They really are.
You actually show me how to properly do them, and I was up to like doing 140 pounds on one leg, like, and I thought
awesome.
For the rear foot elevated split squats,
yeah, and mm-hmm. with the safety bar,
yeah,
yeah,
that's my favorite way to do split squats yeah. by far.
So it's the hardest to way to do.
Yeah,
it is
probably
insane.
My favorite.
But yeah, I you know learn my lesson. And
so why did you use the safety bar versus just the regular bar? And like what is the safety bar?
The safety bar, I think, weighs 65 pounds. Is that how much it weighs? Mm-hmm. And it has almost like a front rack position. So it goes around your neck. And it works a lot of your upper body as well. Like, it makes you keep a good thoracic extension. And it mm-hmm. helps. It makes it a little bit harder to squat, in my personal opinion. I don't know about yours. Mm-hmm. Granted, the bar is heavier, too. So having a weak upper body as well, I thought that would be my best bet to use that kind of bar. I haven't done it in a long time, though, because I've been injury-free, so I don't know what it would look like now. But squatting in overall in general has gotten better. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, the safety bar is one of my favorite bars. The weight kind of sticks forward a little bit, which makes it the bar kind of roll into you, mm-hmm. which makes you want to fold forward, and
right.
then you have to resist that by getting more thoracic extension like yeah. you were just talking about. So if I do a lot of heavy safety bar work, I can feel the next day like my mid-upper back
oh, yeah.
is super sore.
Yeah.
It feels fantastic.
Yeah.
They really
sore
like
in all the right
bar.
Places.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs are going
yeah,
crazy.
The dogs really like the safety bar.
I keep on thinking, I'm like, I wonder what Izzy's destroying down there.
I'm like, what are they barking at?
All right, guys, we're going to keep this episode pretty short. If anyone has anything to plug, I don't know if anybody has any websites or anything or any blogs that they contribute to. Right,
no.
We contribute a little bit to the Faction Training blog. Mm-hmm. So if anyone wants to see any articles written by Ashley or Amanda, if you go to factionsc.com and you, I think it's the tab blog.
I think so.
The tab mm-hmm. is blog, and then look on training articles. We have a rotation where each coach once a week will put a different article up there. So one week it'll be me, one week it'll be Ashley. So each coach has an article up there roughly once a month. So if you want to check out some of Ashley or Amanda's training articles, you can go to factionsc.com and click on the blog. So thank you to each one of you for kind of sharing your thoughts on paleo and on your training history.
Girls train too.
Yay!
That's right. if anyone has any questions for any of the ladies, you can... you can go
Great.
To the Ask a Question tab
on the
webpage for fitter.tv and put your questions in there, and I can relay the questions to them. Maybe we can answer them on a future show. So thanks for watching today, guys.
Yay.
That was fun.